Sometimes we don't realize it, but you and I interact with people that are searching, and we can help them. Are we willing to? The Encouraging Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, former seminary professor, and again, he's been my pastor for over 25 years. He's going to open God's Word today and talk about the idea of sharing God's truth with a searching world. There are people in and around us today that we are going to realize are searching for truth, searching for the love of Jesus Christ, and we can be that bridge. You know, as we begin our broadcast, we always want to remind you, we'd love to pray with you today. If you'd like to call us, 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to pray with and for you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
It is wonderful to be with you and to have fellowship with you. And I just love each one of you so much and thank the Lord for every life and testimony. So how are you doing? How are you really doing? If you were to stand before God right now, what would you say to Him? If one of you here right now would have perished in that terrible tornado, where would you be right now? Is there anyone right now who would be willing to say that this time next week you'll still be alive? I certainly plan to be. I want to be. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Something happened in the book of Acts. We've been studying God's story. And there are some dramatic things that we've been discovering right through the Bible, throughout God's story. And this is a dramatic story, the story about God. And this story is about God's truth. And that's what I'm going to speak to you today about, sharing God's truth with a searching world. And we're all very familiar. We know that up until this point, all the events, we've gone right through the Old Testament. When we arrived in the New Testament, we followed the Lord Jesus and we watched Him. We saw how that, and we're reminded how that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And most people in our world today are very familiar with that. We just call it Christmas. But one of the reasons why so many people want to put an X through the Christ of Christmas and just call Christmas Xmas is because they want all that the world has to offer, but not Christ. And there are people today who are worshiping the Lord, and you're looking at this and you're saying, oh, we know all about that, but not Christ. We don't want Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. He's the giver of life, and He loves you, and you cannot live without Him, and you certainly must not die without Him. If you die without Jesus, you cannot live with God forever. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, this Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will not die, but will have eternal, everlasting life. And in the story, after Jesus was crucified, as we've studied, and on the third day, by the power of God, He was raised from the grave. And He appeared to over 500 of His disciples. And as you heard so eloquently spoken to last week, after 50 days, having ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, God by His Spirit came down. That's known as Pentecost. You read about that in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And when the Spirit of God came down to the world, this Spirit who is God, because God is Spirit, God is three. He's God Father, He's God Son, and He's God Holy Spirit. Hard for us to understand that. And the Spirit of God, when you give your life to Him, the Spirit of God who is God comes and lives in your heart and life. And He enables you to do exactly what I'm doing right now, and that is to tell you about Jesus. He not only enables people like you and me who love him to tell others about Jesus, but he's the one who's speaking to you right now. You may be hearing the sound of my voice, but it's God by his Spirit. His Spirit is revealing God to you. And before I even read this passage to you today, I want to give to you the three keys to vision success. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to do that. I've just called this the three keys to vision success. The three keys to vision success. Number one, understanding God's command. Here in the New Testament where we are studying, amazing things happened. Lives were changed. And step number one to that vision success was the fact that these people, they understood God's command. And what was God's command? He told us about it in Acts chapter 1. He said, I want you to go into the whole world. That's God's command. That is why today, like these people in the New Testament, I'm just simply standing here and I'm understanding God's command. Because I know and love the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian man. I happen to be a pastor of a church. A beautiful church. I'm a friend. I'm a neighbor. I'm a grandfather. I'm a husband. I'm a dead man because I mentioned my wife's birthday. I'm all those good things. And because I love her with all of my heart. But I tell you, the bottom line of everything is that I have understood God's command. And God's command to me is to go. Get on with it in the world. Second key to vision success, believe God's truth. Believe God's truth. I'm holding in my hand God's word, the Bible. Everything in this Bible, from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, is God's truth. I don't have anything to say to you outside of what God says to us in his word and by his Spirit. It's important because in this world today, people are looking for truth. People want to know. And there is truth. As a church, we believe in absolute truth. We believe everything that God has to say to us about his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's truth. And the key to vision success is to believe God's truth. So I'm just saying to you today, like the apostles in the New Testament, number one, I understand God's command. Number two, I believe God's truth. I believe that God is exactly who he says he is. I believe that Jesus is God's son. I believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I believe he ministered upon this earth, literally, practically. I believe that he was nailed on a cruel Roman cross, that he was crucified. I believe that he took upon himself your sin and my sin, the sin of the whole world. I believe that on the third day, by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. I believe that he appeared to over 500. I believe that he went back to the Mount of Olives. I believe he rose and ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that he is coming back again. And I believe that because he is God, that he has given to me and to you and to every person in this world the opportunity to say yes to him, to repent of our sin, confess it to him, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and that we are saved by virtue of his word. That's truth. Do you believe that? I believe it. Now just watch this, okay? I'm talking about vision success. People say all the time, have you got vision? Yes. How do you succeed in vision? What is the pathway? What do you need to do? Number one, you've got to understand God's command. He said, go. Number two, you've got to believe his truth. And number three, you've got to accept God's assignment. That's the third key to vision success. You've got to accept God's assignment. So what is God telling us to do? He's telling us to go into all this world and be about the business of sharing God's truth with our searching world. If I was to ask you, and I'm not asking you to do this today, are you searching for truth today? Are you in a fog? Are you perhaps someone who has it all out there, but there's an emptiness in here? I want to present to you God's truth. Now, let's have a look at this in the light of this passage. Because here were these people. This was the launch of the New Testament church. Well, let's take a look at this for just a second. Because something happened, and I've selected Acts chapter 14. Follow along in your Bibles with me. The Bible says in Acts 14 and verse 1, "Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the world a word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided."
Forgive the interruption. I will be back with more of this great message from Dr. Wilton in just a moment. But isn't life a series of interruptions? And if there's an interruption in your life that you'd like to have someone praying with you about, because sometimes it's the unplanned things that just catch us off guard. It doesn't catch God off guard. He didn't all of a sudden go, "Oh my goodness, that surprises me." No, he knows what's going on. And he would love to comfort you and help direct you as well. We'd love to be a part of that prayer support. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to connect keyboard to keyboard or on the phone. Just know that we're available for you. And speaking of available, if you're available tonight at 6:30 Eastern on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN, we'll be sharing another great message, a video version of Dr. Wilton tonight. And I pray you'll consider joining us and maybe inviting a friend. That's tonight at 6:30 Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. In fact, when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, and they learned of it and they fled to Lystra and Derbe and to the cities of Lycaonia and to the surrounding country, where they continued to share God's truth in their searching world. The question is this: how did they do this? How do you share God's truth? Just a couple of principles here based upon their lives, and God will begin to show you and me exactly what it is that He has in mind for us. Number one, do it as usual. They did it as usual. Now, I'm going to show you something in verse 1. Now, at Iconium, they entered together into the synagogue. Now, I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson here, but the word there literally means what they did as they usually did. It's lifestyle. This was part of their practice. It's as they go. I was on a plane on an occasion, traveling on an airplane. I shared this with our staff this morning because I was thinking about sharing this illustration today. And the plane was flying, and it was flying overseas, and it was a long trip. And all of a sudden, there appeared next to me a man. I want to say very hastily that it turned out, because I had a long conversation with him, that he turned out to be a very fine individual man. But if looks were deceiving, my heart skipped a beat. He was from Pakistan, and he was a Muslim man. He had a beard of a Muslim. He looked like he was a Muslim. He dressed like a Muslim. And he said to the person who was serving where we were seated, he said, "If it's all right with you, I'd like to say my prayers." And my heart skipped a beat. I'm being honest with you here today. He was standing pretty close to me. I want you to put this all together for just a second. Following 9/11, I don't think anybody could have blamed me or those around me by having a few thoughts. In fact, I'm going to take it even further. My mind was turning immediately. Do I jump him now? Do I wait until he gets past me and do something to him? Do I join the Let's Roll group of heroes? And he stood there, and in his Pakistani accent, he said, if it's all right with you, I'm going to just say my prayers. And do you know that that man on that plane, with almost all Americans that I could figure out, knelt down just back there a little bit and began to bow and say his prayers. So why do you and I, who know and love the Lord Jesus, have so much problem even saying grace? And just to complete the story, when he had finished saying his prayers, he stood up and sat down, and later on I had a conversation, and he turned into he was just another man. He's a very fine man, seemed to be a family man, harmless man. He was a Muslim man. He was practicing his religion, and he was absolutely unashamed of what he considered to be truth. And here I was, and my Jesus is alive, and he lives in my heart. That's what it means by doing it as usual. That's what happened. The pattern in the Old Testament for sharing God's truth in a searching world, which is the vision statement even of the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry. This ministry which you hear that goes out from this one church, now being broadcast in 175 nations around the world. Sharing God's truth with a searching world, that's exactly the pattern we have. How do we do that? They did it as usual. I noticed three things in my own life. It was their habit. Every time you open the book of Acts, and from then on throughout the pastoral epistles, you're going to read about a group of people, men and women, who knew and believed. They understood God's command. They believed God's truth. They accepted God's assignment. And the key to their vision success was that they just went about doing it as usual. They just did it. And I look at these things here in the scriptures and I ask myself the question and I say, how can I do it as usual? And God's saying to me, well, just do something for me. And I say, Lord, how can I share God's truth as usual? Just say something about me. Lord, how can I just do it? How can I share God's truth like these people did? What does this story teach me? Well, just give something in my name. Buy someone else a Coke. When last did you buy someone else a Coke? That's a very small thing to do. Just do something for Christ. Just say something about Jesus. Just give something in His name. That's what it means to do it as usual. All of us can do that. Number two, speak effectively. How did they share God's truth in their searching world? They spoke effectively. Look at the second part of that. They spoke in such a way. They spoke effectively. So my friends, I want you all to watch me for a second here. I want to speak to you about the manner with which you and I speak about Jesus. This is not an elocution lesson, but speak up, speak clearly, speak directly, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want to say something to you today, and some of you may look at me and say, well, Pastor, that's so easy for you. No, we're all in the same boat. I want to tell you that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, and I'm going to ask you the question. I'm going to ask you if you would give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Some of you are ready to do it, and you must do it. You must give your life to Christ. I'll help you. In just a moment, I'm going to tell you how to give your life to Christ. Your life will never be the same again. Look at the pattern here as they shared God's truth. The rest of this Bible is about sharing God's truth in a searching world. How did they do it? They did it as usual. They spoke effectively. Number three, this is the tough one. Expect opposition. Now, I hate to bring this into this message today, but it's right here in the Bible. Just expect opposition. Hello? Anyone here want to suggest that the devil is not alive? Expect opposition. From now on, you're going to read about opposition at every turn. I mean, and what happened just in Acts chapter 14 alone is remarkable. Listen, folks, There are people, there are family members that will do anything they possibly can do to stop you turning your heart and life over to Jesus. Your own family will stop you. The government will stop you. Your neighbors will try and stop you. Your town will try and stop you. Sometimes it's a spouse. I'll guarantee you there's at least one person here today. It's your spouse, it's your husband or your wife. And it's amazing, and I'm not picking on Sundays, but it is amazing how opposition will knock at your door, most of all on a Sunday morning when you're thinking about going to church. Right? And I'm not just picking on Sunday morning, because Christianity is not a Sunday morning thing. It's about every day, about every moment of every day. This is just when we come as the gathered church, because the rest of the time we are being the church. That's what the book of Acts is. It's about us all going out, being the church, living out this life, sharing God's truth in a searching world. And what did they do? They expected opposition. So I'm going to tell you today, you want to share God's truth? Get ready. Expect opposition. And it's mounting. It's growing by leaps and bounds in America. It's growing all over the world. It's growing in our neighborhoods. There is more and more resistance, but it's right here in the New Testament. Expect opposition. Number four, spend considerable time. I love verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me. So they remained for a long time. Spend considerable time. How old are you, by the way? How long have you been thinking about giving your life to Christ, but you haven't done it yet? Just think about that. I wish that I could tell you one instance after another for people that I've known and prayed for, sometimes for years and for years and for years and for years. And that's you. God has surrounded you by a cloud of witnesses. And you know that Jesus died for you. And you know that He loves you, but you still have not given your life to Christ. And what these people did was they just spent considerable time. I'm going to do two things today. I'm going to ask God to give you all the possible time possibly, but I'm also going to ask God to spare your life. I've learned some hard lessons in life. I remember preaching in Georgia many, many years ago, probably 30-something years ago. And a young man and his young wife, so angry at the gospel. Never forget it. Standing on the door of that church, shaking hands. I'd preached revival in this church and people were leaving, and that young man was so angry. He was so angry. He couldn't stand it. He was angry with his wife that she made him come to church, and he went out and he went to a little place down the road and bought himself a six-pack that night, we're told. Drank a six-pack of whatever it was, got onto the highway, got down the highway. The state troopers picked him up. And he wasn't in his right mind. He was drunk. And this young man, he was 22 years of age. I will never forget it, because I had to go out with a pastor and look at this. Rode off the road and hit a tree in the median on the interstate just outside of Atlanta. And he was killed instantly. And I will never forget 30-something years ago, standing there looking at the mangled body of a young man with a little baby who just 4 hours earlier had been sitting right there, right there, right there, right there. How many more excuses? How many people are going to have to speak to you? What is God going to have to do to get a hold of your attention? Number five, leave some in God's hands. I tell you, that verse 6 is a powerful verse. So they learned of it and they fled. You want to know the key to sharing God's truth in our searching world? Well, there's a sixth point that took place here. They just left it in God's hands. Whilst one at the same time, my precious friends, we never give up on anybody, and neither does God. You and I have to get to the point at which you say, I leave that person in the hands of a righteous and a loving God. Are you that man? And then, of course, my favorite point of all, sharing God's truth in a searching world. How did they do it? Number six, they never gave up. So don't give up. Look at verse 7. There they continued to preach the gospel. You know, it almost sounds contradictory. All of these elements playing into one another, sharing God's truth, never giving up, never giving up. They just continued to do that. So I want to say a word to a precious wife here today. Don't give up, sweetheart. Don't give up. I want to say a word to a parent here today. Don't ever give up. Don't give up on your sons and daughters. I want to say something to a son or a daughter here. Don't give up on your dad. Don't give up on your mama. Don't give up. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up on you. But I want to tell you something, folks. God hasn't given up on us. Would you give your life to Christ?
What a powerful message from Dr. Wilton. And if there are things you do need to settle, then perhaps you'd like to talk with someone about it. We're here for you. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, maybe connect you with resources that'll help you make that decision to settle things with God. Coming up next, perhaps the most important thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, are next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If God stirred your heart, let us talk about what's next. 866-899-WORD. We'll connect you with one of us happy to talk, to listen, to pray. That's 866-899-9673. Or, of course, you can find that number and other ways to connect on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And while you're there, take a look at what it means to be an encourager to the ministry of the Encouraging Word.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
Thank you again for so many who are stepping up to say, we want to pray for you. We want to support the ministry of the Encouraging Word. If you'd like to talk more about it, call us, 866-899-WORD, or discover more online at our website, theencouragingword.org. And know that more than anything else, we'd love to pray with you and for you as well at those numbers, 866-899-9673.